Hello and welcome to Sittingbourne Baptist Church recording for Sunday the 20th of September. This broadcast is for the children in the way. I hope you're well and I hope you're looking after yourselves. I hope you're able to go to school and that people are being as careful as they can be, wearing masks when they should. And, you know, that we can prevent a second wave. But on to fun times and on to our quiz. And today, it's slightly different because I've got 6 clues for what I am thinking of. So I am thinking of an animal. For 6 points, this animal can run for 35 miles per hour for a short distance, or 10 miles an hour for about 3 hours. For 5 points, this animal needs only between 5 to 30 minutes of sleep in a 24-hour period. For 4 points, this animal lives in the savanna, the grasslands, and the woodlands. For 2 points, this animal has babies called calves. So one baby is called a calf. Have you thought what animal this could be? Maybe the next clue will help. For 2 points, this animal has individual spots on its body that are just like a fingerprint, meaning that no 2 spots are the same. And for 1 point, this will really make it very clear, I'm sure. This animal stands at between 4.6 and 6.1 meters tall, and its legs are usually 6 feet tall. Have you guessed what animal I'm thinking about? If you say giraffe, you are right. Well done. Quite some interesting facts I found out about giraffes. Really, really good. Okay, so today we're going to talk about 2 more parables of Jesus, and the first one is the parable of the wise and faithful servant, and this is found in Luke chapter 12, where we have found quite a few of our parables, and this time we're reading from verse 41. Now, just to set the scene, this is immediately after Jesus had told the parable of the watchful servants, which we talked about last week, where he was saying, be ready because the master will come back at an unexpected time like a thief in the night. And the servants should be ready with all the bath stuff and the food ready and the lamps burning, because they don't know what time the master is coming back from the party. Hopefully you remember that. So as soon as he had finished saying that, we'll just read from verse 41. Peter said, Lord, does this parable apply to us, or do you mean it for everyone? The Lord answered, who then is the faithful and wise servant? He is the one that his master will put in charge to run the household and give the other servants their share of the food at the proper time. How happy that servant is if his master finds him doing this when he comes home. Indeed, I tell you, the master will put that servant in charge of all his property. But if that servant says to himself that his master is taking a long time to come back, and if he begins to beat the other servants, both the men and the women, and eat and drink and get drunk, then the master will come back one day when the servant does not expect him, and at a time he does not know. The master will cut him in pieces and make him share the fate of the disobedient. The servant who knows what his master wants him to do, but does not get himself ready and do it, will be punished with a heavy whipping. But the servant who does not know what his master wants, and yet does something for which he deserves a whipping, will be punished with a light whipping. Much is required from the person to whom much is given. Much more is required from the person to whom much more is given. Right, well, a rather interesting parable. And it's talking about the time when Jesus comes back. And it's talking about God's judgment of us and where we will be seen. So this parable talks about different people and their different information levels and their different commitments to what they know to do. So Peter is asking this question, is like, Jesus, you're telling us to be prepared and you're telling us to be watchful and you're telling us to be ready for when the masters come. Do you mean us, the disciples, only us people who believe in you? Or do you mean everybody in the whole world? Well, Jesus answers this question, and we'll talk about the different servants towards the end of discussing this parable. So really, we need to know the consequences of not being prepared. And we need to know that there are two choices. When Jesus comes back, there will be people that he will be pleased with and they will get to go to heaven. And there will be people that he will not be pleased with and they will not get to go to heaven. Now, this is not a surprise for anyone because we have all the information we need in the Bible. As well as that, we have the Holy Spirit that is available to believers to give, to speak to us and to let us know when we are doing the right thing and the wrong thing. I'm sure you've had it when you've done the wrong thing and then maybe you can't eat, you can't sleep, and you feel really ill and you feel really bad within your body. You physically feel ill because you've done something wrong. And until you apologize or you make things right, you might not feel very comfortable. The people that feel comfortable with doing things wrong or with sinning against God are the people that choose to on purpose, and they keep pushing that feeling away. And after a while, God leaves them to their own devices. He leaves them to their bad behavior. But really, the people that believe in God and know the truth of Jesus, they will not be rejected. You know, you cannot lose your salvation. If you truly believe in God and you give your heart wholeheartedly to Jesus and you trust him as your Lord and Savior, and you have a relationship with God and you read your Bible and you do the best you can and you pray for help when you need it, you will not be rejected. The person that is faithful and is a believer, has a good relationship with God, will not be rejected. Total rejection only happens to those who choose not to hear or not to do what God asks them to do. So the Bible tells us that those that believe in God will be saved. It says that for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But Jesus Christ has made himself available for people to be saved. And those that believe in him, anybody, for whosoever believes in God will be saved. So if you believe in God and you believe in Jesus and you do the best that you can, then, and you're having fellowship and time with God, you're reading your Bible, you're praying, and you're asking for help when you need it, you will be fine. You don't have to worry about, am I doing enough? Am I doing the right things? If you, in your heart, you know you're doing the best that you can, even when sometimes you get it wrong, Jesus will take you to heaven. So there's a part there that it talks about at the end. It says that for who has much more will be given, and who has much more will be expected of that person. So this is more like in some versions of the Bible, it talks about this being responsibilities, that for a person who has few responsibilities, they'll be given more responsibilities, and those that have much more responsibilities, much more will be expected of them. So they'll be expected to work harder. But it's not really responsibilities that you're not ready for. Remember that the Bible tells us that God does not give us anything that we are not ready for. So all of these responsibilities are like your blessings. They are your elevation. They are your crowning glory, really. They're like the things that will help you to make you happy and that you're ready for. If you have five talents or five amazing things that you can do, and you're doing that very well, and you're keeping, you're juggling all the balls in the air at the same time and all that sort of thing, then definitely you will be bored if things stay that way. You will need a challenge. So then you get a few more responsibilities added on and a few more talents added on. But it's not something that you can't cope with. You've proved yourself that you can cope with that level of responsibility. So now you are being promoted up to the next one. So it's like blessings that God gives us and things that we are ready for. Right, so let's look at this unfaithful servant, this guy that has decided that the master is not coming when he's expected. That's such an arrogant guy. He thinks he knows it all. He thinks he knows better than the master. And he thinks that the job that the master's given him to do is maybe not good enough for him, or is beneath him, or he doesn't want to do it. And so he stops doing the work that he should be doing. He starts having parties, eating the master's food, drinking the master's wine, beating up the other servants and treating them unfairly. This sort of person deserves everything he's getting because he knows what he's supposed to be doing, but he chooses not to do it. Okay, so while we're doing that, let's just look at all of these type of servants that there are. There are four types that are mentioned in this Bible, in this passage. So the first servant knows the right thing to do and he does it. And he is the faithful and wise servant. And the Bible tells us that we should pay attention. Jesus repeats it so many times that when you're given, for somebody who has more will be expected of that person. The person who has much more will be expected of that person. And the person who doesn't treat what they have well, even the little that they have, will be taken away from them. So when you know the right thing to do, you should do it. Just do the right thing. When God gives you a job to do, just do it. You don't have to question it. You don't always have to understand it all completely. Just do what God asks you to do. The second servant knows the right thing to do and does the wrong thing. Because remember, the master is going to come back suddenly without warning. And sometimes even believers will not know when. I mean, even believers don't know when Jesus is coming back. And some of them might not be ready. Some believers will always want a little bit more time. But all believers would have had a chance to trust God. And if you know the right thing to do, and you do the wrong thing, you will be punished. But at least you are doing something. And that is better than the third guy, the third type of servant, who knows the right thing to do, but he does nothing. That servant will have severe punishment, more than the person who does the wrong thing, because he is rebelling against God. He is just sitting there watching things happening, not even trying, not putting any effort to do something wrong. So he ends up doing nothing. It reminds me of the talent, the parable of the talents, which I'm sure we'll talk about in the next few weeks, where the guy has been given one talent. He's been given very little, with little responsibilities, probably because he's shown himself to be a bit useless somewhere along the way. And the master knows that this guy, you know, is very dubious. There's very little chance we'll get much profit for him. So he gets a little bit of responsibility. He's been told what to do. He's supposed to use his gifts and talent to do something. But no, he doesn't. He goes and hides the talent in the ground. And that's equivalent to doing nothing, not even putting any effort. Now, do you think any master is going to come back happy with that? No. He's going to get the biggest punishment available. If he had at least done something and done the wrong thing, he will get a little bit of punishment. But no, he just sat on his backside and did not do anything. So that's totally wrong. You have to at least put some effort to enjoy this life and enjoy what God has given you. And also use your talents to the best of your abilities. Then we come on to the 10th parable, which we find in Luke chapter 13, verse 6. And this is called the parable of the unfruitful fig tree. Verse 6 says, then Jesus, it's Luke chapter 13, did I tell you that? Anyway, I think I did. Then Jesus told this parable. There was once a man who had a fig tree growing in his vineyard. He went looking for figs on it, but found none. So he said to his gardener, look, for 3 years I have been coming here looking for figs on this fig tree, and I haven't found any. Cut it down. Why should it go on using up the soil? But the gardener answered, leave it alone, sir, just one more year. I will dig around it and put in some fertilizer. Then if the tree bears figs next year, so much the better. If not, then you can cut it down. Okay, so really, really lovely little story. This, again, talking about the judgment of God. And it gives us the context that, again, Jesus is using fig tree, which people were very, very familiar with it. What they would do is they would plant fig trees in their vineyard, and the vines of the grapes would grow around the fig trees, so that not only did the grapevine have support, but also when you needed to pick the grapes, you could climb the fig tree to get up to the grapes that were really, really high. So this was a familiar thing that people did. So great way to use that Jesus tells these stories with something that people would understand. So at first, when we look at this owner, it seems like if he's to take the place of God, the vineyard owner is God, and he comes across as a very angry God, he's ruthless, he's going to chop down this tree. He's just angry that he's got no figs. I've been coming here looking and there's still no figs. I'm going to cut it down. But really and truly, fig trees took 2 years to bear fruit. By the time they were in their second year, they should have been bearing fruit. So it's not unreasonable for this owner to be cross with the fig tree. Because if the fig tree had been doing its job after 3 years, and the third year when this is taking place, it should have been producing lots and lots of things. Now, this is similar to us sort of having useless things that we have around the house, things that we are not using or things that are not fulfilling any purpose. You know, and some people have a habit of holding on to those things and just keeping them there, and they're taking up space. They serve no purpose. Really and truly, we just want to throw them away. So then here, because this fig tree has actually been planted in good soil, it's been cultivated and well looked after. But despite all this, every time the owner is coming to look for figs, he comes at the right time. First year, okay, fair enough, the tree is too small. Second year, it could have done some by now. But the third year, he keeps coming and looking at this particular tree, and he can see that it's useless. It's just taking up the space in the soil. It's not doing what it's expected to do. So every time he's disappointed by this fig tree. And surprisingly, when he wants to chop it down and get rid of it, put something more useful in that space, the gardener stands up for the useless fig tree. And the gardener says, please do not chop it down. I offer my time and my labor to put in extra work, and I'm going to dig around this fig tree. I'm going to give it some love and attention. Maybe even played a couple of songs. I don't know. He might have done. Maybe talk to it. Maybe try and give it, you know, encourage it more than the other trees round about. Put fertilizer on it. And then just have mercy on this tree. Just give it one more chance. Give it one more year. And then if it doesn't produce in that time, then you can chop it down. So again, this is like a simile of us. We are the fig tree, and sometimes we are useless, and sometimes we're not doing what we're expected to do. Sometimes we're doing the wrong thing. We're not producing any fruit. We're not doing the things that Jesus wants us to do, what God wants us to do, the things that will be beneficial to God and the kingdom of God. And it's not like we don't know what to do, because a fig tree sure knows how to grow figs. So we do know what we're supposed to be doing, but we're not doing it. And then then Jesus comes and says, right, you know what? This person is really doing my head in. They're not doing what they're supposed to be doing. They keep doing the wrong thing and they're not producing anything. I'm going to cut them away and out of my life because really I've given them every chance. But Jesus comes and says, please, no, I plead for this person. I intercede and I ask you to just let me work on them one more time. Give me a chance to try and speak to their hearts again. Give me a chance to try and minister to them, to send them some friends that would fertilize them, to send them some good relatives that would encourage them. Let me put in a bit more effort into this person and see whether we can get them on the straight and narrow. And the surprising thing, again, is that the owner actually listens. The owner listens, just like God listens to Jesus when he intercedes for us. Even when he was on the cross, about to die, Jesus pleads for the people that have put him there. And he says, Lord, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. Even at that time, Jesus has mercy for the people that have hurt him, that have beaten him up, given him a crown of thorns, stretched his body up beyond understanding onto that cross. And he intercedes for them. His last breath, he sacrifices his breath to pray for these people. And that's what he does even now. He intercedes for us and he cries to God on our behalf. And he says, give them one more chance. And then, so we have this amazing gift of God's mercy because the owner agrees. Just like God always agrees with Jesus and always gives us another chance. And once we've got this gift of God's grace that we don't deserve, we should become the faithful and wise servant. We should do the things that we know to do are right. We should put our effort into making sure that we are looking after other people. We're doing all the things that God wants us to do. Like he was saying that look after the world, look after other people, provide food for them, care for the other servants. Do not beat up the women or the men. You know, just be kind and be good and do the things that Jesus asks you to do. So with God's grace that he gives us, when we are an unfruitful fig tree, he wants us to be a faithful and wise servant. Isn't that amazing? I'm continually baffled and how God helps me to see the link between the two parables that we've been talking about. A lot of the commentary that I get, even from Swap Meet Dave, it doesn't always give me that insight. But God has been good. God has been faithful. And I'm really, really enjoying looking at all of these parables. So I hope those two sort of bring a bit of a different light to it, a bit more understanding. And that you enjoyed listening to that. So do take care, stay blessed, and stay strong, stay faithful, and continue holding on to Jesus. He is our hope of a better life, of a brighter future, of coming out of lockdown properly, and no deaths, no more deaths. So take care, and God bless you. Bye.